World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
Hey, everybody. Good to have you back with me. I'm going to finish up a message I started last time, and it's about your words, they come to pass. And we're talking about words. And I so badly want to go through what I taught on last time. And last time, I taught you a skill, how to place yourself and how to place people by the words that they speak. And then how to conduct your life, what kind of friends to build, how maybe to get rid of friends. There's some friends literally to slam dunk them out of your life. And there's others, just try to work with them, but decide, you know, watch the words, the actions. Now the words are crucial because whatever a person is like constantly talking about, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart. Now the heart is your autopilot. It is where your world is being controlled. So what somebody thinks about and talks about, what someone talks about often, it's coming out of their heart. And sometimes if they're not talking about it, in any kind of an extreme emotion, you'll see something slip out of their mouth. And they call that sometimes a Freudian slip or, oh, what's really going on inside? They just slipped out of that person. And so anyway, you need to go back and hear that one as I teach you how to place yourself, how to place others biblically correctly when it comes to judging them. So we're not supposed to judge. No, the Bible says we don't judge their heart. You must judge the fruit of their life. You must judge their actions. And the fruit of their life literally means, what is your life producing? Relationships, attitude, finances, the worth you have for God's kingdom. And then what is your life producing? So anyway, I want to encourage you to go back. Let's continue on the words that come out of your mouth. Now, I went through crazy people in the Bible and how their words placed them in such a loser thinking mentality, like David's brother and the 10 spies and Judas, etc. But now let's look at some of the words of others. Elijah was a prophet of God. He had a young man that he brought into his employ called Elisha, very similar names. And towards the end of Elijah's life, he was going away to die. His ministry was over. Actually, the story says he was caught up with a chariot of fire. Now, the young man, Elisha, wouldn't leave his side. And Elijah would say, just stay here. I'm going to go on. And he would say, boy, as your soul lives, I will be with you. I am coming with you. And Elijah would continue to go. And he would give him another opportunity. I'm moving on over to here. You feel free to just chill out, relax, stay here. And each time that Elijah encouraged him, just relax and stay here, he said, no, I'm coming with you. And then he asked him, he said, well, what is it you want? He said, I want a double portion of what was in your life. It wasn't this way because he had to compete against the older prophet and show him up. Oh, no. He saw what it did for God's people, and he wanted to do greater things for God's people. The words of this young prophet were of such that even when he was given the opportunity to relax and sit back, he wouldn't. You know, as I raise up leaders in our church today, it's interesting how I refuse to beat and push, verbally beat someone and push them and drive them. I just refuse. Now, that's the way a lot of leaders lead their organizations, and they think they're raising up great leaders. I decided to run for God and to teach and to train and to believe in people, give them opportunities, but I'm not going to drive them in front of me. Leader means I'm out in front. I just look around to see who's running beside me, who's there with me, who's going to pay the price like I'm paying the price, who'll put in the extra hours, who will surround themselves with the right people, who'll actually do what I'm teaching on Sundays and what I'm doing on my staff meetings. Elisha, his words word to Elijah, I'm going with you. I will be with you. I'm not sitting down here to relax. I'm not sitting down here. And so when Elijah went up in a chariot of fire, Elisha watched him go. And Elijah's cloak came floating down out of the air. And it says Elisha picked it up. I often wonder, and that's symbolic. I think sometimes we get too crazy with the word anointings and who's got whose anointing. I don't agree with all that. But I will say that there are men and women of God that are placed in leadership. And if people would stay with them and run with them and believe in them and stop being just disturbed by their humanity, which everybody has, but they would stay beside them, that they would discover on their own how they can walk and flow in the gifts of the Spirit, the miracles of God. Elisha picks up that mantle, that coat, and the first time he speaks, he just says, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And he hits that river and the water parts. And as we rise up in faith in God, his words, Elisha's words, were always, and he was even tempted to begin to gossip with some other people who were from the school of the prophets. And he literally just rebutted them and just said, "I know it." And he just moved on. He wouldn't sit down and gossip and talk about what's going on in the prophetic realm and is Elijah being taken, etc. And I want to challenge you, watch the words of your mouth. Your words are building your own heart and its beliefs. Your words are releasing. The Bible says, Jesus says that I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you don't allow on this earth is not allowed. Whatever you do allow on this earth is allowed. And it's talking about faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But now faith is a process. Now a part of that process is the speaking of words. And so let's take a look at some other people. Gideon was an example of a man whose words were awful. I mean, when the angel said to him, "Oh, mighty man of valor, Gideon," he goes, "Oh, I'm the lowest in my father's house. My father's house is the lowest in the whole country." But something interesting took place. He began to meditate on the words of that angel. "Gideon, you mighty man of valor." Now he's got a choice to believe what he has always believed in his life about his identity and who he is, or to believe the words that came from heaven, the words that came from God's throne. Angels don't speak on their own accord. Angels only speak and act on God's specific commandment. And when he said that to Gideon, Gideon made a choice to believe God's words. The difference between, a coward and a champion isn't how you feel. It's what you do in the midst of your feelings. And I get up and I'll speak the word. And in the speaking of God's promises, it does something to me. And then my actions begin to follow the words that I speak. This is what Gideon did. He began to believe the words of the angel. Now, he wasn't a born-again man. And as he began to walk out this miracle of where he was going to drive off these nations through God's help, he had different things. He wanted a fleece, you know. He would put out a fleece to God. "Well, if it's you, then make the ground wet, and I'm going to put this fleece out on the ground. It should be dry." Then to next, "Well, make the ground dry and that fleece soaking wet." Now, that's the old covenant that he did that. Today in the new covenant, we're not supposed to put out fleeces. The enemy will fleece you if you start praying fleece prayers. It might have worked once or twice in your immaturity as a new Christian, but the longer you grow in God, the more I am never moved by fleeces. I'm moved by the word of God and what he speaks to me deep in my heart. Gideon began to be changed, and he became an incredible leader, choosing to believe the words of God.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Who is Holy Spirit to you? Many Christians are unaware of the role Holy Spirit plays in their day-to-day lives. As a believer, you have a powerful advantage. Don't go your entire life unaware of who Holy Spirit is. In this three-part series, Demystifying Holy Spirit, Leon cuts through common misbeliefs and shows you how to tap into God's presence.
Hey, everybody. those who give and have joined us in this love walk of financing this program around the world. They're so special. I'd love to have you join us. For a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series on the Holy Spirit and how I learned to become friends with Him and His power in my life.
Receive His guidance, know Holy Spirit personally, and begin to access His miraculous ability and strength like never before. Get your copy of Demystifying Holy Spirit today.
Now, there's a verse in the Bible, and it's Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to 37. I'm going to unpack this for just the last little bit of this message. It says, either make the tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. But the tree is known by its fruit. All right, the tree here we're talking about is your heart. And it's not talking about God making anything. In sentence structure, when you start out with the word, either make the tree good, and it's kind of like this. It's me saying to you, just you and me in the room, either go up the stairs and out or go out the window and out. Now, the expected noun in that sentence structure is you. If I start out with, hey, you, or if I just start by saying, hey, either go up the steps to leave the house or go out the basement window to leave the house. The word either doesn't have, even though you is not there, it is completely understood. So when it says either make the tree good and its fruit good or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, it is saying you. So how do you make the tree good? Well, this tree is the part that produces. So it is your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the forces of life. Out of it is the boundaries of life. It says here that a man is known by his fruits. It says as well that you got to, you know, so it's looking at this heart, you. Now, that means we have an impact on our heart. Now, there are three gateways to the heart. There are three ways that change and impact the heart. It is what you listen to, what you watch, and then what you say. Those three things must be guarded constantly. Today, we live in a nation where young people and older people literally think they can watch anything they want and control their heart. They'll watch sad movie after sad movie. They'll watch horror after horror, full of fear, full of doubt, full of unbelief. They'll just watch somebody else's life being controlled by all the things outside of God. And so their world just becomes like the world's. But now it says, you can make the tree good. You can make your heart good, for a tree is known by its fruit. Then he says, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Now, the word treasure means deposits. So a good man out of the good deposits of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure or the evil deposits in his heart brings forth evil things. Okay, whoa, really? Yes, we keep thinking that it's the devil doing the evil in our world. The devil cannot do anything to you that he can't get you into agreement with. So the devil has no power over you. He's got to turn your power against you. Where is that power that you have or that authority? That authority is in the words that you speak into this world. Those words, you're going to be justified. Those words, you're going to be condemned. This goes on to say in this portion of Scripture, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Now, some preachers have taken this and said that there's one day we're gonna all stand before Jesus and he's gonna go through all 80 years of your life and every word you're gonna give an account for. That's not what this is saying. It'll take us an eons of time to do that. All of the sinful things you've said in your past, those are all gone and forgiven, so how can that be? No, what he's saying here is that by your words, you will be justified, or your life will be made right. The word justified, it means righteous and going in great directions. And as you follow this continuum out, it means the life of God in every area. Your words are determining this. Or by your words, you will be condemned. I like putting that word A instead of E. You're gonna be condemned. It's like your life is damned when you can't control your mouth. I had a man that I knew well when I was working as a paramedic, and one of the things he would brag about and laugh about was that, yeah, my dad never went past 40 and I probably never will either. And he had this little story that he repeated all the time. On his 40th birthday, he went out and in the craziest way, an accident happened and snapped his life out, dead, gone, leaving wife and kids. And all we could all remember, you know, is the words that this man spoke. You gotta be careful what you're saying. And now the extreme people have taken this, well, I said, hey, I own a Cadillac and it didn't happen, so I don't believe that. I get what you're saying. But we're talking about words that come out of the abundance of your heart are the words that are powerful. And so the way you change your heart is by beginning to speak God's word. Hebrews 4:12 teaches us that God's word is alive. And when you begin to meditate and speak God's word and begin to let those words help you to see a different future, you begin to see a different you, because the language of the mind is just an information. It's just that kind of a thinking. But the language of the heart is visions and dreams. The language of the heart is very tied to your imagination. And how do you see yourself? When I ask people, what's your future gonna hold? And they kind of go, well, I really don't know. I mean, look how bad the world is. I already know what their vision is. If I ask somebody, hey, what's the vision for your future? And it goes, we're gonna help the Church of Jesus Christ. We're gonna raise up our career and finance the gospel of Jesus here at Springs Church. We're gonna rise up and do great things for Miracle Channel. We're gonna touch the people in our world. I want my kids to know God and have great marriages. I wanna grow old surrounded by kids and grandkids and son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and great. And the guy just starts to speak out. That's the vision that's coming out of this heart. And so I want to challenge you that don't let your mouth just speak idle words. In other words, the word idle just means you're not thinking about it. You're not putting that word to work in any specific way. But whether or not you think it's going to work or you don't even realize it's going to work, it is. For by your idle words, you are going to be justified and condemned. So whether or not you believe that your words are a vital part of the process of faith, doesn't matter, it affects you. And you will never understand or get the process of faith to work for you because you refuse to believe one of the crucial steps of the words of your mouth. Now, just speaking new words doesn't change things in your world. There's two steps. It changes your heart first. That's where you connect to the truths of God's word. Get to know Jesus. Every day you spend time with him and his word begins to push out wrong beliefs in your heart, wrong thinking, wrong pictures, wrong imagination, wrong visions, wrong dreams about the future. And then you begin to believe as God's word gets planted in your heart like Mark 4 talks about. And it begins to rise up and it produces 30, 60, and 100-fold of joy and prosperity and blessing and happiness. This is because you are beginning to go into God's word. Now, God's word would be God's words. And you're getting God's words in your heart. Instead of your dad's words, mom's words, your teacher's words, the bully's words, the person that hurt you's words, the person that offended you, their words, the person that abused you, their words, the pictures, and how you look at yourself after the abuse. All of these things people try to counsel out, and they can't, because counseling is usually just dealing with the conscious mind. Only the Word of God goes subconscious, if you want to use a modern term, or down to the heart. And at that heart level, where you don't even realize beliefs are there, it begins to push them out. It begins to restore this heart with the beliefs of God. And the Bible says you can have the mind of Christ. I like the Amplified. It says there in the New Testament, his thoughts, his feelings, what he believes, what he sees for the future. And so one of the steps in this process of faith is to begin to be aware of everything that you say. One of the things I did as a young man, and Sally and I both helped each other, we shared that in some of the other teachings, is that we begin to believe and confess that everything I say comes to pass. I begin to believe that every word that comes out of my mouth will come to pass. So now when I talk to people, I don't agree with them if I don't agree with them. You know, these nice guys are, oh, really? You think so? Oh, you're probably right. Now, they don't even agree. They just want to be liked so bad, they're afraid of standing up for anything. And the fear of man is a snare. I made a decision. Any words that came in my ears, people would say things around me. I've had people prophesy things over me that were wrong. And when I got a moment to get away from stuff, or sometimes I would just confront it there, I disagree with that in Jesus' name. I'd listen to preachers teaching me, and they're speaking curses like, you'll never be able to do this. God's not going to do that. I would literally say, don't agree with that in Jesus' name. My kids will sit around me or Sally, and they'll hear me even sitting in a conference go, nope, I don't agree with that in Jesus' name. I don't want that planted in my heart. So not only do I watch what my words are saying, I'm watching what I'm hearing and what I'm in agreement with. And then what I'm seeing, what am I constantly looking at? And I've learned to control my eyes, control my ears, control my mouth so that the Word of God is constantly being fed into my heart and I'm connecting to it by meditating, thinking. And every verse that I meditate on, I let it begin to change the future in my imagination. I see myself healed, healthy, happy. I see myself surrounded. The Bible promises this by the next generation of my family and great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids. I see myself with whatever I put my hands to, the Miracle Channel, Springs Church, Spirit Contemporary International, just growing and flourishing. And I just see every mouth that rises against me coming down and everything God's promised me rising up. I mean, the things that I see in God's Word, I speak them. And then I see them, and Holy Spirit helps me. The Bible says he shows me things to come, and he leads me into all truth. Well, we've put a lot of content in here. I hope you'll just go over this message and the one before, and in this process of faith, begin to control the words you speak, the words you hear, and what you watch. God bless you. I hope that as you hear God's word, something on the inside of you begins to grow and be strong. When you hear the word of God, it should never make you fearful. God's word and his spirit will never make you worried or anxious. If you read or hear a preacher that it causes anxiety and fear and worry, it's the wrong spirit. Even if he's quoting and reading the word, his doctrine might even be okay, but it's the spirit that is behind it. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. And as you continue to find the messages that we are teaching here and all the teachings, I want you to know, let the Word of God come in and renew your mind. And then as your mind begins to focus on the principles of God's word, who you are, who Jesus is, who God is, who the devil is, and then what you can do, what your legal rights are, does it mean when you are in Christ, you are in him, that's your legal rights, but then Christ is in you. Not only now it's not just the legal rights, it's the abilities that you have. You know, it's one thing to say that a policeman has the legal right to stop that car. Okay, he has the legal right to stop a vehicle on the road. Now, the other question is, does he have the ability to stop it? Because if that person chooses to not stop, what can he do? Well, those cars have, they got rumble strips or strips where they can run over spikes. They've got cages built on the front of their vehicle to stop that car. If they have to, they have shotguns and weapons and rifles. They have ability to stop a car if they need to do it as well. And this is the beauty of when you begin to know the new covenant. You'd better understand that it is all anchored around this teaching of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his seated at the right hand of the Father. As you hear his word, it's going to change you. And you're going to be realize that not only is there a legal side to my following Christ, there's legal authority I now have, but also Christ is in me, which means there's an authority, that there's a power that flows out of me. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior. Come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.